You could be taking your Bibles, please, this morning, and turning to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to start. We'll be looking at some other passages of Scripture this morning as well, but we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 12, rather. I said 11, but chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. And while you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to look into the Scriptures this morning. We ask you to bless our study as we search out your word. And I pray, Lord, that as a result of you speaking to our hearts, that we'll receive hope and help, that you will minister to us through your word in that way that only you can. Open up our eyes, our minds, our hearts to your truth this morning. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we live in a world that is constantly changing. Everything is constantly changing. Just ponder in your minds all the recent world events. It's crazy, isn't it? It seems crazy. We are living in shaky times. We live in an unstable world. And guess what? It's a world that is eventually coming to an end. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat." You talk about your global warming, right? "The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." There's coming a day when the very elements of everything as we know it will be destroyed. But you know what? It's not all bad news. Look with me here in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews at verses 26 and 27. Right? Now the context at the end of verse 25 is "him that speaketh from heaven." It's talking about God. Verse 26, "whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." What he's saying is the things that can be shaken will be removed to reveal the things that cannot be shaken. And the things that cannot be shaken are the non-created things. And to me, it's a very comforting thought that in a world of change and decay, where it seems that the only things that's sure is that nothing is sure, there are some things that cannot be shaken. There are some things that will remain. And this morning, we're going to consider some of those things. We're going to specifically look at four things. I've entitled this message, Four Things That Cannot Be Shaken. Four things that cannot be shaken. Now, the first one is this: God's throne cannot be shaken. In Psalm 45 in verse 6, it says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And Lamentations chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, and thy throne from generation to generation." We can praise God that no matter what happens, his throne remains secure. Now, what does the Bible mean when it talks about God's throne? Well, first of all, of course, the throne represents God's kingship. Right? It means his rule. His rule will last forever and ever. Or as we saw from the book of Lamentations a moment ago, "Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation." The throne represents God's kingship. But then secondly, the throne represents God himself. The throne will never be shaken because God will never be shaken. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one and only true God, will not be moved. Look over at Hebrews chapter 1 for a moment. Beginning in verse 10 of Hebrews 1. It says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." God is eternal and unshakable, and nothing can shake or change him. And so the throne represents God's kingship. It represents God himself. And then third, in God's kingly rule, the throne also represents both grace and judgment. Grace and judgment. As his children, as those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we can freely come to the throne of grace and into the presence of God to find mercy and help and hope and peace. But if we're not his children, if we have rejected or neglected the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and refused to receive him as our Lord and Savior, then we will one day stand before the throne of God, not in grace, but in judgment. And that is inevitable, because his throne cannot be shaken. And so the question is, are we loyal subjects of the king who sits on the throne? Do we willingly bow and confess Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Have we received the grace and the salvation that comes by faith? Or have we rejected that or neglected that? Well, if you neglect or reject it, I guarantee you there'll come a day when you will stand before the throne, but it will not be in grace. It will be in judgment. You see, he is the king. He's the king forever. And we will meet him one day. And there's only one way to be ready for that. And that's by coming to Christ and receiving him as your Savior and Lord. Receiving the forgiveness and the eternal life and the hope of heaven that only he can offer. Remember what Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The throne of God cannot be shaken. It is eternal. And we will stand before it. But what a terrible thing it will be to stand before it in judgment rather than in grace. But the reality is that throne cannot be shaken. It is forever. And by the way, let me remind you that God has not abdicated that throne either. As crazy as this world looks, I want to remind you that God is still in charge. He knows exactly what's going on, and everything is going according to plan. Everything. Because that throne cannot be shaken. It cannot be shaken. Now, the second thing I want to point out to you this morning, not only can the throne of God not be shaken, but the word of God cannot be shaken. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, it quotes Jesus as saying this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:25, "The word of our Lord endureth forever." Forever. Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's word, like himself, will remain forever. Forever. In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, "Thy truth endureth to all generations." It is unchangeable. Unchangeable. Now, Now, man may try to change it and manipulate it and twist it to fit into their lifestyle or to try and make it more palatable in the society in which we live. But in the end, it will be discovered that all of their efforts to change it were in vain. God's word cannot be shaken. The Bible is living and powerful, and it is eternal. So every time we read the Bible, we can be sure of three unshakable things. First of all, its power cannot be shaken. In Hebrews 4:12, it says this about Scripture. For the word of God is quick, that's living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God has power to convict, to convert, to cleanse, to comfort, and to counsel. And that power will never be shaken. That power cannot change. And then not only can its power not be shaken, but its promises cannot be shaken. It's been estimated that there are over 30,000 promises in God's word, ranging from promises that God will never leave us or forsake us to promises of holy and righteous judgment. And he will remain faithful to each and every one of those promises. Why? Because he is the God of truth and faithfulness. And the God of truth and faithfulness has made these promises. In the 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. That is, they are true and they are trustworthy. The promises cannot be shaken. You know, every now and then you'll hear somebody say this. You'll say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, right? And that's a good thing, but you realize, though, that that's not exactly true, right? Because guess what? Even if you don't believe it, if God says it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not is not the issue. If God says it, that settles it. His promises cannot be shaken. And so the power of the word of God cannot be shaken. The promises of the word of God cannot be shaken. And let me say this, the prophecies of the word of God cannot be shaken. Many of the Bible's prophecies have already been fulfilled literally, and the promises that await fulfillment will also be literally fulfilled. I guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, that Jesus is coming again. I guarantee you, Jesus is coming again. You can count on it. Jesus himself made us that promise in John 14, verses 2 and 3, right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Absolute truth. He's coming again. You know, in Acts chapter 1, as Jesus ascends back to heaven in the clouds to sit at the Father's right hand, the disciples are standing there kind of with their mouths hanging open, staring up in the sky. And an angel standing next to them says this in Acts 1:11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Don't you know that this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven? He's coming again. You can count on it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking it's coming soon. I'm thinking we're closer to it than we realize. Jesus is coming again. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? See, the prophecies of the Word of God will be fulfilled exactly. Its prophecies cannot be shaken. The word of God cannot be shaken in its power. It cannot be shaken in its promises. It cannot be shaken in its prophecies. And I wonder, do we long to read and listen to the word of God? Do we let it convict us and cleanse us and counsel us? And have we allowed the word who became flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take control of our lives? And if we've done so, then we can thank God that in this shaky world, his word remains secure. The word of God cannot be shaken. Now, let me give you the third thing this morning, and that is the church of God cannot be shaken. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as recorded in Matthew 16:18, assure us of this. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the visible church, right, the church as an organization may be shaken, and we've seen that many times throughout church history. But I want you to look at what we're told at the end of Ephesians chapter 1 about the true nature of the church. So turn with me there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. There's so much great truth in Ephesians 1, but we'll start down about verse 18, I guess. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above. Now, this is describing Christ, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. What we often refer to as the universal church, the church which is the body and bride of Christ, the church which is made up of all those who have truly given their lives to Jesus Christ, that church cannot and will not be shaken. The true church is secure, it's permanent, it's abiding, it's eternal. And if we belong to that church, what a blessing to know that we are members of the body of Christ. We belong with countless others to that which is founded and built on none other than the risen, eternal, never-changing, all-powerful Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, the question is, are we members of that true church? Now, if you're trusting your own good works or trusting some religious rituals to make you part of it, then you're not part of it, no matter how religious or righteous we appear. The Bible's clear about that. For instance, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Titus 3:5-6, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God knows our hearts and what we've done with Jesus. And by our hearts he will judge us, not by any outward righteousness or even church attendance or even displays of spiritual power. You see, the issue is your faith, not your works. Faith is what makes you part of the true church. When you come to Christ in faith and you receive him as your Savior, that makes you part of the family of God. That makes you part of the true church. It's all about what you have done with Jesus Christ, who is the foundation of the church. And if we belong to this true church, we belong to the Lord Jesus by faith, then we can rejoice in the fact that that church will never be shaken. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be defeated. And one day, at the sound of the trumpet, that beautiful church, that bride, is going to rise from the earth triumphantly, gloriously, victoriously to meet her bridegroom in the air. What a day that is going to be. Oh, the devil can do all he can to try and stop it from happening. He can fight all he wants, but he will never win. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church of God cannot be shaken. And then let me give you one more here this morning. One more. And that is that the child of God cannot be shaken. There are many wonderful promises in the Word of God regarding this. He has pledged to keep his children secure until they are safely home with him. And there are several passages I want us to look at this morning. First of all, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we'll begin in verse 27. This is Jesus speaking, of course. My sheep hear my voice. Verse 27 of John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're safe and secure in the hand of God. Nothing can take us out of it. Now, I've had people, supposed Christian people, say to me, well, no man can take me out of God's hand, but I can take myself out of God's hand. Now, why in the world any Christian would want to believe that, I have no idea. That doesn't even make any sense to want to believe something like that. But it's not true. When somebody said that to me not too long ago, but I can take myself out of God's hand, I looked at him and I said, so when did you leave the human race? Because my Bible says no man can take me out of the Father's hand. Am I not included in that? The word man, does that not include me? No man can take me out of the Father's hand. And then basically what it's saying is, I'm as sure of heaven as if I were already there. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth. But let me look at another one. Look at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Go over to Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin about verse 33. We'll start there. We'll read through 39. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, which is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then notice this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every possible thing that the world or the devil could throw at you comes under one of those categories there in verses 38 and 39. Everything that the world or the devil could possibly attack us with comes under there. And it says none of them, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We're safe and we're secure in him. I love Philippians 1:6. Being confident. Here's something we can be confident about. Being confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Right? He saved us and he's going to continue to keep us until the day we see Jesus. You know, in this world we can lose lots of things. We can lose our health. We can lose our wealth. But as a child of God, the one thing you cannot lose is your eternal life. You cannot lose it. Where we have eternal life and it cannot be shaken. I mean, think about it. The most famous verse of the Bible explains that to us, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice that phrase, everlasting life. Sometimes it's called eternal life. Well, I figure this. If you can have it, and then lose it, and then gain it again, and then lose it again, that's not eternal life. That's temporary life. But the Bible says we have eternal life. And notice it's present tense right now. You see, your eternal life does not begin when you die and get to heaven. Your eternal life began the very moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's when it began. Jesus said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath, right now, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Right now, present tense, we have eternal life. Christians have eternal life and we cannot be shaken because Christ is our strength, because Christ is our life, because Christ is our security. When all that can be shaken is removed, we will remain and we will one day dwell in our eternal inheritance in the city whose builder and maker is God. So the question this morning is this. Do you know that you have eternal life? In John 3:36, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, it's one or the other. It's very clear, it's very straightforward, very simple, very plain. We only have eternal life when we have Jesus in our life. And when does Jesus come into our life? When we invite him to come in. When we invite him to come in. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Have you opened that door? Have you invited Jesus to come in? You see, I can't do that for you. There's lots of things I can help you with as your pastor, but this is one I can't do for you. And you can't do it for me. It's a personal decision. You have to do it. But the point is, you can do it. This morning, you can become a child of God. This morning, you can gain the assurance that your sins are forgiven and that you definitely are on your way to heaven, that you're part of the true church. You can have confidence in that this morning if you'll trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. All you have to do is just come to him and talk to him, call out to him. Something simple like, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, But I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again so I could have eternal life. So please, Lord, forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Give me that gift of eternal life. Give me a home in heaven. I now trust you. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. And I guarantee you that if you'll come to him that way, he will not turn you away. Because he does not turn people away who come to him in faith. And so as we think about the instability of the world, let's be encouraged to put our trust in the God who cannot be shaken. And let's rejoice that there are at least four things that no matter what comes to pass in this crazy world, these things cannot be shaken. God's throne cannot be shaken. God's word cannot be shaken. God's church cannot be shaken. And God's child cannot be shaken. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for this opportunity we've had to look into it. And I trust and pray that each person here and each person watching by the internet will be encouraged in the knowledge that even though this world looks shaky, it looks like things are falling apart, there are some things that can't be shaken, some things that are unchangeable. And help us, Lord, to find strength and help and comfort in that knowledge. And Lord, I pray also that is anybody listening here in the church this morning or by way of the internet that has not received Christ, I pray that today they would open up their heart and invite Jesus in to wash their sins away so they can become a child of God, so they can be forgiven, so they can have eternal life, so that they can be part of the true church, ready to meet the Savior when he arrives. And so, Father, continue to speak to people's hearts and help us all to be sure of our salvation by trusting in you, and then help us to trust in these truths from your word to give us courage in these shaky times. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.